Let us pray. O God of mercy and grace, be pleased to look upon us with your favor today. Awaken us to the many signs of your care and parent-like concern. Teach us not to be restless or anxious, but to wait upon you. We ask for your forgiveness and cleansing, and we plead for your holy love to renew our hearts and to arouse our wills for worship and service. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We shall read in unison, selection 601. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Making a life may be compared to the weaving of a multicolored tapestry. Many of the strands upon the loom, the vertical ones, are given to us. We receive them from above, as it were, and have no control over their color or texture, whether it be dark or light, delicate or coarse. But the other strands, the horizontal ones, we are casting through the loom each day, often hour by hour and moment by moment. Our choices are critical. Our responses are urgent. Our reactions are necessary. And it is out of our selection that these strands come to fashion the design and pattern, the shape, color, and quality of our lives. The most important decisions we ever make are made in personal relationships. And the presence or absence of caring, affection, and love in those relationships determines how we shall choose the threads with which we construct our own personal tapestry. The longer one lives, the more one realizes the presence of pain and suffering in the world. The more intensively one loves, the more deeply does that person enter into the dialectic of love and suffering. And the more profoundly one engages in this interplay of love and pain, the more does he or she move directly into the very heart of God. Now, having said this, I have given you already all I wish to say today. The rest is commentary. I am as much at a loss to explain the mystery of evil and tragedy as is anyone else. I often tremble in weakness and despair before some of those dark and ominous threads which drop swiftly from the midnight sky. But I have begun to learn, I think, that I cannot avoid choosing how I shall feel and think and act when the hurt or suffering comes. This I must do, even though I do not understand. And yet, in a sense, I do have a better understanding despite the mystery. I have come to see the nearness of God in our pain and sorrow. The reason for this is that God has always loved his world and his people so much that again and again he has come into our midst to speak his word of grace and love and healing. He is near and not far away. Israel of old knew that holy presence and was sustained through much travail. And the word of the prophets clearly shows to us the suffering in God's loving heart. Most of all, I see a bit more clearly because in our Lord Jesus Christ, God freely took upon himself our sin, our sorrow and our loss, our pain, and our dying. And I have come to this conclusion. If God is that kind of love, I can learn to live with life's unanswered questions which tumble in upon me as I am faced with ever more intensive suffering brought on by my commitment to the way of love. Each day, many times during the day, God incognito stands before us in the form of a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, a little child or a tiny infant. You and I must make such terrifying choices. We can be indifferent. We can shun or ignore. We can become hostile or full of hate. We can break forth in bitter sarcasm or icy cruelty. We can strike out in violence. Or we can speak softly in kindness. We can touch tenderly. We can smile reassuringly. We can help unselfishly. We can lift with strenuous expenditure of energy. We can take upon ourselves the loads of those whose strength is gone. We can love and not count the cost. We can lose ourselves for the sake of the one toward whom we give our love. But do not forget one thing. We cannot weave the golden thread of love through the loom alone by ourselves. There is simply too much pride and greed in our hearts. First, we must be forgiven. Second, we must accept God's grace as enabling power and as ennobling love. which changes our stony hearts to hearts of tender feeling. When I think about it, sometimes I become very much afraid. For God's love is not a light and easy thing. It pulls me into the mainstream of human life. And in that surging torrent of people, I witness enormous suffering. Indeed, when I give myself in love to another person, I lay bare the nerve endings of my deepest self. I expose the tender eye which sees through tears the face of the one beloved, whoever he or she may be. And what that person does or does not do may pinch those nerves or pierce that tender eye. To care for another human being and then to be disappointed by that person's words and deeds means that I suffer. To love deeply and with increasing unselfishness means horrifying pain in my own heart when the person upon whom I bestow my love is struck down by a dread illness or by some other cause is taken from my presence by death. The height of love defines the depth of pain and loss. Inasmuch as we love selfishly without awareness of God, we may be utterly undone and destroyed either by the act of the person we love or by the loss of that person. But insofar as we love unselfishly as God in Christ has loved us, so much the more will grace uphold us whether in disappointment or grave loss, and thus moving ever more deeply into God's loving heart, shall we be able to love again and yet more deeply still. The longer one lives, the more one realizes the presence of pain and suffering in the world. The more intensively one loves, the more deeply does that person enter into the dialectic of love and suffering. And the more profoundly one engages in this interplay of love and pain, the more does he or she move directly into the very heart of God. We are casting the woof threads through the warp threads which are given to us. Some kind of tapestry is being woven day by day. You may choose a random pattern with no special meaning. You may form a surrealistic picture with monstrous distortions, with nightmarish unreality. You may tell a horror story with your pictures of indifference and hate. But such is not necessary. It can be different. For God gives each of us the choice to pick up the shuttle with the many-colored strand of love. We may weave shapes and forms of dazzling color, of indescribable beauty, as we move in love, through suffering, into God's loving heart. May we bow together for a moment of meditation and prayer. As we go from this place, may God be within us to refresh, around us to protect us, before us to guide us, above us to bless us, beneath us to hold us up, who lives and reigns one God, world without end.